that tonight. Amen. Appreciate the Lord this week.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you for answering prayers.
Yes, sir.
I want to say to your church, I appreciate you being here each night, being faithful. And I don't have the words to express what's in my heart. I love this place.
Amen.
I love your pastor and his family. And what a joy it's been. Amen. But I don't think I'm quite finished yet.
Amen.
I want to get rid of this burden I got tonight. And then we're going to be heading out pretty quick afterwards and try to get toward Alabama. Amen. So you pray for us in our travels tonight. And I love you, church. Appreciate all the good fellowship and the food that you ladies and men fixed and prepared. And just made me feel so welcoming at home. And I don't take that for granted tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate you and love you much.
Amen.
I want you to take your Bibles tonight. Go to Hebrews. Please, chapter 10. I want to say, before we read this verse tonight, by way of introduction, according to the Word of God, Romans 12, God, every person that comes into this world gets a measure of faith. Every one of us has something inside of us that desires worship. We've said it over and over this week. God desires your worship. God wants your fellowship. God wants you to love Him. Look at me tonight. That's why He put you here. That's why God created you. Can I ask you a question tonight? You think that's too much of God to ask? After all the blessings that He puts in our life. All that He's done for you. Times when you didn't even realize that He was there. And I think He's worthy of our praise tonight. Amen. But God puts a measure of faith in every person. And yet, I want to show you, if the Lord will help us tonight, just exactly what happens, the steps that a man takes when he refuses that faith, when he refuses that grace that God's allowed upon his life, wants to give him salvation.
Yeah.
I want you to know tonight that you came into this world with an empty spot on the inside. And there's something inside of you tonight, especially if you're here and lost. You got a craving and a hunger. You're trying to fill a void. And mankind does everything in the world that you can think of to try and fill that void, that emptiness that's on the inside. He reaches out to every thing he can find, whether good or evil or ugly. And he tries to make it fit his life and bring some kind of peace or happiness. But you can't get peace or happiness, and you can never be satisfied in your heart with what you see with your eyes. And we have proven that in our lives time and time again. Every man gets that measure of faith. Somebody said light rejected becomes lightning.
Amen.
When you continually reject God's word, in your life. Reject the preaching of God's word. Reject the church. Amen. And before you know it, you begin to live a life to yourself. That's where many are tonight. No longer caring about others, but only thinking about what's in it for me and how much I can get and where I can go and what I can have in this world. And so we stop at nothing tonight. But I want to suggest to you tonight that when you reject the faith that God so graciously puts in your life, something takes place. And man becomes never satisfied. He's not satisfied with what he has at home. He's not satisfied with his car. He's not satisfied with his job. Got to have a better job. Not satisfied with his wife. Got to have a better wife. And it just never, ever stops trying to reach out and grab something to fill that void, something to put in that gap in our life. Something's missing. And so he begins his life on a downward spiral until it gets to the point of no return. And I want to show you that point tonight, and I'll be very quick, fast, and in a hurry. Amen. I want you to look at what happens to a man tonight that rejects the faith that God has for his life. Look at chapter 10 of Hebrews. Chapter 10 and verse number 22. The Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Watch now. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He gets, every person gets to this point when they reject God. They get an evil conscience. Are you listening to me tonight? He no longer says sin. He no longer recognizes sin in his life. He don't think there's anything wrong with himself. Amen. He finds fault in God's word. He finds fault in God's people. He finds fault. Come on, everybody, all right? He begins to find fault in everything about the church, about Jesus Christ. He begins to use Jesus Christ as a byword instead of recognizing he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your life. He begins to question the things of God, question God's word, question the preaching, question the church. He lives to please himself. He lives to justify himself. Is everybody all right? You take a young man. Can I help you tonight? You take a young man. I don't know if you realize, my wife's a math teacher. And she's got, I think, 14-year-olds. Do you realize in the public eye tonight, most 14-year-old young men have seen just about everything this world has to offer. Are you listening to what I'm saying? They've seen all the nudity. Yep. They've seen all pornography. They've seen all the adultery. They've seen all the incest. Yeah. They've seen, I'm telling you, by the time a young man is 15 years old, there's nothing that he has not investigated in his life today. Everybody all right? But let's look up the scale a little bit. By the time he's 18, he no longer is excited by the opposite sex. That's the country we live in tonight. That by the time he's 20 years old, he's dabbling in alternative lifestyles, trying to play with this. All right, is everybody all right? I'm telling you what happens. You mark this down. It happens, amen. By the age of 22, he has tried everything that there is to try in this life. By the age of 25, that young man, if God don't intervene, has become a full-blown reprobate. Yes, nothing registers. Ooh. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, he hates God. He hates church. He hates the Bible. He tries to find fault with anybody and everything except with what's wrong in his own life. Amen.
Yeah. Preach.
And so God says, he receives, and are you listening? He receives an evil conscience, never satisfied with what he sees with his eyes, never satisfied with what he feels, never satisfied with things in his life. There was a time in his life as a youngster when a merry-go-round seemed like a big deal. Wow. But time went on and he got on a Ferris wheel. When he got on a Ferris wheel, he said, boy, that merry-go-round, that's nothing. And then later on, he finds a roller coaster. And on that roller coaster, he said, why are they riding that Ferris wheel? Are you listening to me, church?
Yeah.
I'm trying to show you there's a progression there. And he's never satisfied. He's never content. Hey, he gets out of that roller coaster, gets him a fast car, and it won't go fast enough. So he gets an airplane, and it won't fly far enough. And so you can take a rocket and put him on the moon, and he's still not satisfied with what he sees in his eyes. Everybody all right?
Amen.
But you see, here's the problem. It don't stop there. It doesn't stop at an evil conscience. An evil conscience, he recognizes only himself. He realizes there's no sin in my life. Sin is just relevant. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. I just want to be free. I just want to express. You ever wonder about these fellas? They say, preacher, I'm just expressing myself.
Yeah.
You can tell them because they all look the same.
Right.
Amen. I just got to express myself. I just got to loosen myself. I just, come on. And so they continue, and it's a spiral, a downward spiral, a spiral into iniquity, a spiral into sin, and they can't escape it. And brother, they have an evil conscience, amen. But if they don't get some help, if they don't get a hold of God, if they don't get on an altar somewhere and cry out and get God in their life, look at the next step. Look at Titus chapter 1, please. Hebrews 10 to Titus, just back a few pages. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Titus chapter number 1. Watch it now. Look at verse number 15. Now watch. He lost his faith. Now he's received an evil conscience. But then it goes from an evil conscience, watch, to a defiled conscience.
Yes, sir.
Look at verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled.
Amen.
Now he's past church.
Yeah.
Now he's throwing beer bottles out at the church sign. Now he's blaspheming God on the airways.
Yeah.
Now he's talking about the preacher on Facebook.
Yeah.
Running down church members. Uh-huh. Calling them blasphemous names.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me, church? But it don't stop there. I'm talking about a defiled conscience. I'm talking about when he leaves off an evil conscience and he gets a defiled conscience. You say, preacher, what is that? Let me give you some examples tonight. How many of you ever heard of Stephen Paddock? There's a young man named Stephen Paddock. He grew up in a dysfunctional home. I mean, he just, his whole home was a mess. At a young age, at a teenage age, They locked his father up in the state penitentiary for robbing banks. A little later on in his life, his father broke out of jail, prison, and was on America's top 10 most wanted list. And that was the kind of life that he had. Rocky home life. Everything falling apart. He went on to finish school. Went off to business school. Got a degree in business accounting. That sort of thing. He bought apartments. Traded townhouses. Condominiums. They said, are you listening? They said when he died, he was worth millions of dollars. This man would go out west. He would sit in a casino and sit there for literal hours. 12, 15 hours was nothing. Sit there and drink booze, chase it with Valiums. If you know anything about Valiums, bro, that's a depressant. That'll blow your mind, especially with alcohol mixed with it. And this man's life just literally fell apart. He used to take prostitutes up this room, $6,000 a night, every night, and come down and gamble all day and drink and pop Valiums all day long. One evening, up in the Baymont Hotel, he slid the window back. Down below, they were having a Jason Aldean concert. And that man took AK-47s and AR-15s and began to riddle that crowd until 58 people lie dead and over 550 wounded. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then the police rushed in to try and take him, and he turned it on himself and took his own life. A man with all that money, man with everything, what happened? He got a defiled conscience. He went from an evil conscience to a defiled conscience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You won't give it up tonight. You want to hang on to it a little while? Want to do it a little bit longer? Want to keep it a little for? Hey, I'm telling you, you just keep on. And brother, you're going to get that defiled conscience. Amen. What are you saying? I remember some years ago before my pastor died. I remember when a young lady came in about 22 years old. And she sat there with him for almost 2 hours. And I watched. Are you listening to me? I watched as he begged that young girl, give up that lesbian lifestyle. I mean, begged her. I watched as he gave her the gospel. I mean, talked her heart to heart. I watched tears swell up in her eyes. After about over two hours, are you listening to me tonight? She came in that room with a chance. She came in that room dabbling with something she had no business dabbling with. Are you listening? She came in that room with an evil conscience. I thought she was going to get saved. She got up and turned around and walked out. Might as well have spit in his face. Flipped him off. Walked out the door. And that night, she had an evil conscience, but it quickly became defiled. I mean, now she's crossed that line. Used to be you could talk to her about it. Now you can't talk to her. She don't want to hear it now. Now she's out the closet. Wants everybody to know she's carrying her picket sign and boasting. Are you listening to what I'm saying tonight? And you just keep on with it. And you keep on with it until you go so far you can't get back. Amen. Talking about somebody's daughter. Talking about a defiled conscience. When you no longer care about God. You laugh at the things of God. Make fun of the church. Call the preacher names. Hello? You say, preacher, I don't think I'll get to that point. Where else are you going? That's the way you're headed. It don't, listen, You didn't get enough today to satisfy that longing. So you got to have a little bit more tomorrow, and a little bit more the next day, and a little more the day after that. And you will never, ever be satisfied in your heart with what you see and feel. Amen. Now you got an evil conscience. Then the evil conscience becomes defiled. There's having a meeting. I heard this story. They're having a meeting up in Tennessee. Young man, 15 years old. And the preacher talked to him. And he just got to talking in passing. And the young man said, he said, "Preacher, as soon as I get my license, I'm leaving here. I'm moving out to Houston. I'm going to live it up. I'm tired of church and tired of God. Tired of going. Are you listening to what I'm saying?" And so you know what happened? He got his license. Got him a little old car. And left home, left church, tired of carrying out the trash, tired of listening to mom and dad. And down the road he went. A couple years went by. One night the church had a special missions night. They had a missionary come in. He happened to be a missionary to the streets of Houston. He was showing some film about the wickedness in Houston. And he flipped over to one scene. And it was a huge man, about 320 pounds, no shirt on, had a log, kind of looking like a log chain around his hand. And the log chain run down, and there was a young man on all fours, on his hands and his knees, with a dog collar around, no shirt on, his hair spiked. Are you listening to me? And that chain from that man's hand was around his neck. And all of a sudden, a blood-curdling scream let out in the audience. "Cut it off! Cut it off! That's my boy! Cut it off!" "Oh, it ain't gonna happen to me, preacher. You just keep playing with God. You just keep dabbling with what you're dabbling with. You just keep, you say, what's gonna happen? You're gonna, hey, are you listening? Your evil conscience is gonna become defiled. When it gets defiled, I'm telling you, are you listening? There's no end. There's no telling what you may do in your life. What is it? Ask every one of them. How many of you know about all the shootings in the schools? New Haven. Remember that? Columbine. Florida. Texas. West Virginia. You know what I'm talking about? Or Virginia Tech. Remember that? Every one of them. If you would ask every shooter, every one of them, you ain't going to get this on Fox News. Every one of them said this. Voices told me to do it. The devil, some said, told me to do it. My God told me to do it. Are you listening to me? They sat there and they listened to that heavy metal. Listen to that junk, that trash. Listen to that filth feed their minds, pump their minds, prime their minds. Next thing you know, they're down the road in God knows where, doing God knows what, because of a defiled conscience. Wickedness takes over. Never satisfied. Never not satisfied with a drink. Got to have two. What is it they said? A drunk says, "One is too many, and 1,000's not enough." Never quench the thirst. Never fill the void. Because an evil conscience becomes a defiled. Are you listening to what I'm saying, church? Is everybody all right? It becomes a defiled. What in the world would make a man go out on the street and snatch a 12-year-old girl and take her home and chain her in his basement for sexual pleasure and months and months later, years later, when he's through with her, take her out back and dismember her and bury her in a shallow grave. Preacher, I wouldn't do that. God help you. You sit there and you don't know God. You got a void on the inside. You're trying to fill it at breakneck speed. You can't fill and you wonder why. I wonder if you've got a defiled conscience tonight. What do you mean? Reprobate. Nothing registers. I always wondered about this crowd. When a man of God stands up and preaches against something, then you got these in the news. Stand up. Here's what they say. Watch. Are you listening? Well, I'm a Christian too. But he's just not right. I think he's just hateful. Just being mean. All he did was preach the word of God. Everything that wears a cross ain't a Christian. Everything. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We got a bunch of fakes out there tonight. Got a bunch of folks dabbling in the world. Hey, and you went from an evil conscience to a defiled conscience. And now there's no end to what you'll do. Little girl had her 16th birthday. Mama begged her. She's going out to party. She's never been out before. She's done made her mind up. They going to Myrtle Beach. Going to live it up for the weekend. Man, she's done. Mama can't talk her out of it. She runs out, jumps in the back seat with her friends. Mama standing in the yard with tears dripping off her chin, begging her not to go. Come back, May! Down to the beach she went. First night there, hooked up with a young man. Spent the weekend with him. Early Monday morning, she got up and he was gone. She didn't really know exactly where she was at, but she knew what she'd done. And on the table sat a little gift box. She opened up that little gift box, and inside was a little black wooden coffin. She opened the lid on that coffin, and inside was a little black rose and a little note that said, "Welcome to the world of AIDS. Just keep playing." You think God don't have a deadline? You think you can't go too far? Wait a minute, I know, you're the exception. You're the one. After all, you're you. You can handle it. I thought I could handle it. In and out of detox. Destroyed everything I ever had. I would to God, my mom and daddy, I would to God they'd have drugged me to church when I was little. I would to God they'd have made me go to church when I was little. I would to God, and maybe I'd have avoided some of the hell I put up with and caused in others' lives. Because you see, that defiled conscience comes. Is everybody all right? Amen. Give me a few minutes. You see, it don't stop there. Everybody okay? Look with me. You see, that defiled conscience. Look at 1 Timothy, please, chapter 4. 1 Timothy, chapter 4. Stay with me. I'm going to wind it up just a minute. 1 Timothy, chapter 4. And look at verse number 1. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." You see, it goes from an evil conscience. It goes a defiled conscience. Then it goes to a seared conscience. What do you mean, preacher? I mean where you become numb in your life. Where you drop by the church one day or one night because somebody begged you to come. And you sit there through preaching the word of God and nothing moves you. No feeling, your past feeling. You know what seared is? It's when you get burned. And they won't, and you can't feel. Anybody ever been burned? And that place where it was burned, you can't hardly feel it. There's no feeling there. How many of you ever grabbed a cup of hot chocolate or maybe a hot coffee, and before you realized what you were doing, you turned it up and it seared everything in your mouth? Your taste buds were scorched. You say, what's happening, preacher? You've lost your taste for the things of God. You've lost your taste for a Bible, for a church, for preaching. You think it's all just one big game. You think it's a joke. You think we're doing this because we ain't got nothing to do. God don't want to kill you tonight. God wants to save you. God don't want you to go to hell. But as sure as I'm standing in shoe leather tonight, you just keep on.
Yes, sir.
Until it becomes a seared conscience.
Yeah.
Nothing registers. Nothing matters.
Amen.
When preaching don't bother you. When the Holy Ghost can't knock anymore.
Right.
Or at least you don't hear it.
Yeah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying, church?
Yeah.
I'm talking about getting a seared conscience. A conscience where nothing matters anymore. Your past feeling. And you could care less. And you think, not me. I'm all right. You can see everybody else's life. You can see everybody else's wrong. But I'm all right. I can handle it. I'm in control. You can't even control your next breath. It's on loan from God. Come on, everybody, all right?
Amen.
Talking about a seared conscience. I'm talking about sitting under preaching, but there's no conviction. God just comes by the pew. He'll stop a minute, but then he'll just keep going.
Yeah.
And he'll never come to your heart's door again. God said, I've had enough. You think I'm going to play games with you? I put you here to love you. I put you here so you could love me. And you're going to treat me this way? God said, I'll have the last laugh. See, what happens, preacher? It's a downward spiral. Starts out rejecting the faith that God put in you. Are you listening, church? Listen to me tonight. Then it becomes an evil conscience. Then it becomes defiled. Now it's become seared, scorched. Nothing will grow there anymore. Can I show you one more tonight? I want you to see one more. Can you look at one more? I want you to go to John chapter 8, please. I'm hurrying. I know it's going to get late. John chapter number 8. Now here tonight, right now, is where some of you are sitting. Where, preacher? Look at me. Right here. In John chapter 8. Look with me, please. John chapter 8, verse number 9. You know the story here, if you, most of you should. This is that woman they brought and throwed her down at Jesus' feet, caught in adultery, red-handed. Caught her in the act, but they couldn't find the man. But look at what happens now. Watch verse number 9. And they which heard it, Jesus just preached to them, being convicted by their own conscience, came and got saved. Is that what it says? No, it don't, does it? Says they went out one by one. You see, you could take the one little step tonight in the right direction. One little step. God will give you what you need to get the rest of the way. And I guarantee you, he'll probably save you before you get here. That's how close you are to going to heaven tonight.
That's right.
Look at me. But you're just one heartbeat away from hell.
Yes, sir.
Just that quick. Bible says he preached to them, and being convicted in their conscience. I told you, you got an evil conscience. Is that right? A defiled conscience. It becomes a seared conscience. Maybe, just maybe. Maybe tonight. God will let the Holy Ghost come by and tap on your heart one more time. Just one more time. And give you a convicted conscience. And here's what you can do. You can come down here in about 3 minutes, be on your way to heaven. Or you can do what so many do, because you think this is all a bunch of baloney. That's the devil talking to you. And you leave out of here tonight, you can die and go to hell, but you won't go unloved. Everything we're doing here tonight is for you. You're the reason we're here.
Yeah. Amen.
Yep.
That's right.
Do you know what the Bible says? Ecclesiastes 11:3. Bible, all through the Bible, it says God sees men as trees. He likens men to trees.
Yeah.
All through the Word of God.
Right.
Are you listening? God said you're like a tree. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, if the tree falls to the north or to the south.
Yep. Exactly right.
He never said east or west. Because when you fall, when you leave this world, you're going to fall north where God is or south where hell is. And he said, in the place where the tree falls, there it is. You don't get to stand before God and say, well, I thought, I felt like, I thought I was going to get my good works judged with my bad. Don't work that way. God said when the tree falls, it's done. It's over with. You want to be unjust? You want to be filthy? Let him be filthy still. God said in Revelation 22,
yep.
He that is just, let him be just still. Are you listening? But you're going to make a decision tonight. If you're here tonight and you're lost, and you get up from there, and you walk out and you say, I ain't making no decision, you already are. You're just letting the devil make them for you. Because you ain't got enough in you to make it on your own. I wonder tonight, what is it in your life How far are you willing to go? I wonder where you might be tonight. Maybe you're sitting here with an evil conscience. Maybe you just hadn't really been what you should, but maybe there's still hope, still a chance. I'm seeing evidence every day of my life. Every day, a devil's coming out of the pits. I mean, this world is being infiltrated at breakneck speed with evil. That's where we are. There's a battle raging tonight, and one of them is for your soul. And God's voting for you. The devil's voting against you. How are you going to vote? I want you to stand with me tonight.